You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts, Doug Padgett, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson, here with you today on a fantastic summer day in Minnesota for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
I wouldn't know. We're stuck down in this windowless basement.
Yeah, in the dungeon.
I know.
The dungeon layer of...
Who made this building and decided, let's put all the offices where the windows aren't?
Yeah,
I know. And let's put all of our gear where the windows are.
It does keep it kind of cool down here, though.
I guess so, yeah.
But if you're feeling blue, consider this. Today, we are not even in summer yet. Summer starts in 3 days.
Oh, yes.
My mom actually thought it was today, so I had been going around assuming that it was the official start of summer, and then when I looked into it before I talked about it, I'm like, oh, it doesn't start for a few more days. But isn't that just fabulous to think about, that we haven't even hit summer yet?
You know what the glass half empty thought is? Well, then we're getting shorter days all the way until about Christmas.
That certainly is the empty glass way to look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's beautiful today, and it's been pretty beautiful the past few weeks. Today, we got a bunch of interesting things to talk about. We will continue on the debate theme that was going on with Robert Pilot and company, which they did a fantastic job, by the way. That was a great show. I was listening in, so salute to all you fellas. We will talk about some polls here in Minnesota and some surprising findings in those polls. Also, speeding, the police are on the watch. They're trying to crack down on speeding, and that campaign starts today. So there will be extra enforcement of the Minnesota roads. We'll talk about that, as well as a bunch of other fun things. But to start things off with, regarding those Democratic debates and the 20 players in that realm, I saw an article that the debaters, the candidates, are actually preparing to try and create viral moments at these debates. Now, Brett, what are your thoughts of preparing to have a manufactured viral moment?
That is not going to go well. That just... I hate picking on this one candidate, but I can't remember when Elizabeth Warren, I think, had a moment where she was trying to have a beer with her husband. It just came through as very inauthentic. Not to pick on her, but I mean, other candidates have that too, whether it's Hillary or I'm trying to think of one of the male candidates that's done that before.
Those are my exact thoughts.
Yeah.
What a recipe for disaster, to try and prepare.
I'm cool, kids.
Yeah, a just commodified version of a viral moment, trying to seem hip. That is destined for failure for the most part.
I think John Hickenlooper, now that I think about it, I think he'll come up with the most awkward one.
Yeah, he'll have some kind of conservative take. But that's the thing. It's like striving to create a moment like that. It's... so dangerous, and the potential doesn't, it's not worth attempting for like what you can achieve from that. You want it to be spontaneous and authentic if something's going to happen.
And not necessarily that he's my favorite candidate, but I think Biden actually would be the best at coming up with an authentic viral moment because that's kind of his personality. Not saying that's an endorsement of him, but he's actually quite good at doing that.
Well, that was what I was wondering. I was curious what you thought. Who has the potential to have a great debate night and create one of those memorable moments? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. And on the flip side, who do you think has the most potential to botch an attempt at a viral moment?
Sorry, but, Elizabeth.
Yeah, my feelings exactly, too. Elizabeth Warren, when she tries and do act in a manner that she thinks a campaign advisor would tell her to act is when she really makes mistakes. And we've seen it. Elizabeth Warren has been doing pretty well in the polls lately. And the reason why is she got back to who she is. She wrote detailed policy proposals. And that's who her authentic personality what she conveys, what she's good at. So she's back to the basics, and it's been succeeding. But now with these debates, yeah, she is one of the people that I worry could make a mistake that was very costly for their campaigns. But again, what do you think? What do you expect to happen at these Democratic debates? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. We're also going to talk about a couple bits of advice for winning your own debates. Some tips from psychologists at how to win a political argument. But before we do that, let's go to Randy in St. Cloud, who has an idea of this viral potential. Randy?
Well, thanks. Just the fact that they're going to try and do that lets you know they have no clue at all. And the only reason Joe Biden is going to have a viral moment is because he's going to say something incredibly stupid. And the media is the one who's going to make it into a viral moment. It's not going to be like AOC or even Ilhan Omar can say something that becomes a viral thing because people are into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the media can also create it, and they really like Joe Biden.
Yeah, and we were talking here, Randy, off air, saying that they can turn it into a positive for Joe Biden, saying, oh, that's just Uncle Joe having a funny Uncle Joe moment kind of thing.
Right, because he's just so real, like really a sexist, really an idiot, really all kinds of stuff that he's real about. But yeah, but to even the thought of they're going to try to do it lets you know they don't have a clue.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the call. I know I worry for some of them at attempting to behave that way. Being inauthentic and insincere is a recipe for the voters to turn on you. But I wonder what people, if anyone has any ideas on who could emerge from these debates as kind of a dark horse candidate. Who could have a moment where we might not have been paying attention to them until the debates? Brett, do you have any speculation on these kind of more long shot candidates? On any of them that could have a moment at these debates and just have a surge in the polls?
I said it during Robert's show, but she's not really a long shot, is that I think Elizabeth Warren's going to get the biggest spike from the debate just because, well, go ahead. What were you thinking?
Well, no, finish that and I'll respond.
I originally thought, well, she's kind of getting the raw end of the deal, not being able to debate the real high list candidates like a Joe Biden, Bernie mm-hmm. Sanders, Mayor Pete, Kamala Harris. Where I think on her night, she can kind of get the debate stage to herself, and I think people are going to really be turned on her by her ideas because, as I said again during Robert's show, going back to 2016, she was kind of the Bernie before there was a Bernie, at least yeah. before he entered the race. People mm-hmm. were saying Elizabeth Warren should represent the liberal side of the mm-hmm. party. Then, of course, Bernie ran and kind of took that platform of the party, but I think that hunger is still there, and I think people are going to look at her and say, oh, yeah, I remember why we liked her so much in 2015.
She will be the one of the most interesting candidates to observe. But I fear that it could go the opposite, that she might lean too much on that trying to connect the way that we've seen her do in the past that doesn't resonate with people, like being a coach from campaign advisors. Yeah. If she sticks to the policies, she has a lot of potential to grow in the polls, like you said, which she has been doing lately, actually. She's in second place in some polls and third pretty consistently lately.
And I think what's important is any debate advice you would give to a candidate, just be yourself. Don't listen to someone saying, oh, you got to talk like this to sound more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Just be your personality, even if it's, you know, a quote-unquote boring personality. If that's how you actually are, I think people will find that authentic in itself.
But back to a dark horse potential, yeah. I think that Marianne Williamson.
I've heard that. I haven't heard anything about her, but you were telling me she's kind of a dark horse.
Yeah,
what's kind of her platform? Why do you think that?
The reason I think that she could potentially be the next Andrew Yang, who like is seen as a complete long shot that changes and builds a following and starts getting media attention, because she's a spiritual coach and author. However, she's been pretty like politically engaged for decades in her writing and talking about specific policies. She's actually been one of the longest people advocating for reparations, like seriously, and putting forward proposals towards that. But her style of campaigning is just very different than any of the other politicians, but in a way that potentially resonates with people and is kind of refreshing. So I do predict, actually, that she'll have some sort of moment coming up and get a lot more publicity and attention. So keep your eyes out on Marianne Williamson. But give us a call with your Dark Horse picks. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue with the debates, but talking about advice for you to use to argue with others about political opinions. We'll be right back on AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m. We'll be here soon, but don't worry, you're in good hands. Listening to Hunter and Eric on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Any time is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Food nourishes us. We need food to live. But how are we nourishing the food system? Well, actually, we're throwing a bunch of chemicals and we're making the dirt dead, and then we're adding nitrates to the water and we're causing dead zones in the ocean. Oh, and we're also causing climate change. We do that with every bite we eat. But we can create something different. We can switch to a regenerative system. And that's what we talk about every week on Food Freedom Radio. So tune to Food Freedom Radio Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Food Freedom Radio on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Eat fresh and support local farmers this summer by shopping at the Minneapolis Farmers Market. The market has the best selection of fresh and local fruits and vegetables, meats, and farmstead goods. It's not too late to pick up plants and flowers. Also, fresh at the market is asparagus, rhubarb, and green onions. The Minneapolis Farmers Market is open every day, 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. Plus, there's additional locations Tuesdays at the Hennepin County Government Center and Thursdays at Nicollet Mall. More details at mplsfarmersmarket.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Brett Johnson here with you on a Tuesday. We've been talking about the debates and candidates attempting to manufacture a viral moment in these upcoming Democratic primary debates. We have 20 candidates who are participating, and they're looking to cause a stir. Speaking of viral moments, I want to make people aware that AM 950 is on YouTube, and we've been adding content lately. So definitely check it out. We've been doing some cool things, been making some very exciting new videos. I've been posting visual podcasts of Mission Accomplishers and clips of the show. So check out the AM 950 YouTube channel and help us go viral. But if you are a person who has some friends and family of disagreeing political ideologies and opinions, I have some tips for you on how you can win your arguments. Now, these come from a handful of different psychologists who got together to kind of find the figure out how political opinions, if they are swayable, and if how you would go about swaying people's minds, because they're one of the hardest things for people to actually change their opinion based on having a argument about it. And just historically, the rule is if you criticize someone or condemn them or disagree with them, they're more likely to just believe what they believed beforehand even more. And that just goes back to the Dale Carnegie School of how to win friends and influence people. But the number one tip for winning an argument, and this is going to sound sad, is forget facts. Psychologists who study political belief and persuasion think it's adorable how obsessed argumentative people are about cute little things called facts. When it comes to winning arguments, truthfulness and details simply don't matter as we think they do. So when you're engaging in an argument with someone whose views are different than you, don't bother to get hung up too much on factual accuracy. It's all about appealing to emotions and telling stories that resonate with people, because facts are seen as someone with a differing opinion, as something that is could be proven with their own, and that they could represent different stats that show a different conclusion. So psychologists, don't put facts too highly in engaging in arguments.
I got to chime in, because you remember when Mike McEntee had his show here on the station on AM 950? You produced a few of his shows back in the day. So he made his documentary, How Love Won, and how we were able to defeat that marriage amendment the Republicans put through. And he talked about that very thing, that it was telling stories to other people about how these two people love each other, appealing to emotions, not giving out facts and just statistics about why legalizing gay marriage is a good thing. Yeah, he, I think, went along exactly with those thoughts right there, where it's all about appealing to emotions rather than just listing off facts about why you're right and someone else is wrong.
Yeah, and that's another example of that is with me attending those city council meetings about the homeless shelter. A lot of people believe that putting a shelter in their neighborhood would lower their property values, even though we've said time and time again that in fact, the studies show pretty overwhelmingly that that isn't the case, that they don't lower it and most of the time actually increase property values. But it doesn't matter, because to them, their hunch is that that's not true. So it's just disregarded immediately. But if you tell a story of a person and why you need to do this, that's much more effective at potentially swaying someone.
Was this kind of the strategy you used at the city council meetings as well, going with that angle rather than giving facts, saying, oh, this is why it doesn't lower property values, and listing off facts and statistics?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a great example of a person I knew who this winter was homeless in Chaska during the polar vortex and that's a hard thing to then want to be to just disregard, to just not care about that person's story and what they went through, a lot harder than just pointing out statistics. But tip number two is let your opponents hang him or herself. It may not seem right judging from cable news, but when people are asked to explain their beliefs about how a given thing works, they actually become less confident in those beliefs. So there's a phenomenon known as illusion of explanation depth. So if you ask an average person to explain why they hold a just certain opinion, they come to realize the limitation of their own understanding and kind of get insecure or self-conscious, especially with large ideas like this. So a way to put people on the defensive is to ask them to explain in detail certain specifics about whatever their opinion is. So that's pretty interesting, and it's a pretty easy thing to do. Then number three, this should be easy. Just exercise your Minnesota nice. When people have their self-worth validated, they tend to be more receptive to challenging their own beliefs. So political arguments are very easy to get heated and upset, spill out personal attacks, but that's absolutely the worst thing you can do. And number four, this is interesting, but it's use disgust. So I'll read what it says. Not every hot button political issue can be traced back to disgust, but many of them can. A long line of research has shown there's an intimate connection of how our politics and our sense of disgust are connected. So what this means is what people find as just reprehensible and like nauseating. And an example that they use that was very effective is two men kissing to combat gay marriage is showing that to conservatives was very effective to have them oppose gay marriage. Whereas an example on the other side was showing war footage. I mean, think of Vietnam. And once people started to see the consequences of war, they were just disgusted by what they were seeing. So that's one of the most powerful ways to change an opinion that I'd never heard about, disgust regarding political opinions.
I'm trying to think how you would use this in a political argument. Like, let's say gay marriage, you know, let's say we're debating someone like that who says, well, I just saw two men kissing and it disgusted me. I'm kind of thinking, what would we show them on the other end? I don't know, maybe an old guy that's 90 years old who's a millionaire marrying a young woman, something like that. I can see how it's effective, but I'm not sure how you necessarily use that in an argument on some cases.
For disgust, yeah, I know. It is hard. They don't pop out, but
yeah.
It's interesting that they said it was one of the most effective ways to get people
for
to,
sure. Yeah,
to
like
change
the war argument.
What they thought they believed. But the fifth and final one is change the frame. So the way to earn your black belt in this is one of the prominent current theories that psychologists have is it's called moral foundations theory. And there's five foundations to this theory that are how people form their moral beliefs, their care and harm, fairness and cheating, loyalty and betrayal, authority and subversion, and sanctity / degradation. And for liberals, care and harm and fairness and cheating are the most important, whereas conservatives believe in loyalty, betrayal, authority, and degradation. But they found that it's very effective to change the way you speak about it and put it into those terms. So the example that they use is with gay marriage again, describing gay Americans as proud, patriotic Americans was very effective at expanding their enthusiasm of supporting gay marriage. And when you put in military service and things like that, they further were swayed on how much they supported the idea of gay marriage. So just framing the argument in the terms that they care about, very effective. But those are some tips for debating your conservative colleagues and friends and family. What do you think of them? Do you have any stories of swaying someone with strong conservative beliefs? Have you ever gotten an argument with Randy from Coon Rapids? How did that go?
Are we going to use these five strategies that Randy calls?
We might have to.
Yeah, I think we have to run down all of those, yes.
But give us a call, 952-946-6205. Talk about your experience trying to influence conservatives. But, you know, I don't spend much time talking, trying to sway conservatives. I lately spend much of my conversations with people who disagree with me prying for why they believe what they do. And through that, I kind of talk to them of what I believe and why my worldview is more effective at getting at the things we care about. So I don't really see it as much as arguments because it never gets heated. I inquire and then I try and influence. But what are your stories? Give us a call, 952-946-6205. We've got Andy in Andover who's got some thoughts on this. Andy, it's good to have you on.
Hey, Hunter, you're doing an excellent job. I really enjoy listening to you.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to bring up the Dunning-Krugman curve. I don't know if you want to Google that or something, but it shows how people have the greatest conviction about beliefs when they have a minimal understanding of the subject. and then as they learn more about the subject, they actually have less conviction until it's like a U-shape. It comes back up as they get, they study perhaps a master's or a PhD on the subject. But they'll never gain the amount of conviction they had when they only slightly knew something about it. And it was a thesis by two gentlemen, Dunning-Krugman, that was the effect. And nails it. I mean, I know so many people where this applies to, especially when you're in a political debate.
That is amazing. Thank you for bringing that up and just giving me the lens now to view observations with that in mind, because that is very fascinating. And I can believe it, because the further you go with things, the more just routine it becomes. And when things are new, they're fresh and exciting. So I can see how passion could get linked to that and being worn out on certain things. But very interesting. I had never heard that.
Passion, for sure, I think. Yeah, when an idea is fresh, you're very passionate about it because it's fresh, it's new, it's exciting. That's spot on right there.
Yeah. I know, like, just things like playing instruments. When I was first starting out, I was so enthusiastic about it, and it was so important. And then when that ended up becoming what I did for work, I didn't care as much about the actual pursuit of playing the instrument. Regarding political beliefs, that is an interesting lens to put it through.
I think my curve for playing the instrument, though, went to an L. I never came back up on the other side. Interesting. That was my bass guitar experience.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, I've got some bizarre stories to go to. So we'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Hi, everybody. This is Paul Metz inviting you to listen to my radio show, The Wall of Power Radio Hour, every weekend on AM 950. We feature cool people from all walks of life and from all 50 states. In 4.5 years, we have featured musicians, actors, politicians, homicide cops, record stores, Metz-a-Wockumentaries, Bob Dylan's first drummer, and more. Every weekend on AM 950, 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking, and online at burgermo's.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way a fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 55. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 76. Thursday, a chance for rain with a high near 74. And Friday, cloudy with a high around 73. Create an environmental legacy at Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens, Minnesota's first green cemetery. One of the many things they have is something called a living urn, where ashes are in an urn with seedlings, ultimately coming back to life as a glorious tree. Learn more about Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens at mngreengraves.com.
This is Reverend Jack from Minneapolis, and you are listening to the Repartee here on AM 950. Hey, you guys are awesome. I love you. Repartee, yo. Peace.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice, Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here with you today. And we are taking calls about all things debates, the Democratic debates, debates with colleagues, how to influence people. And you heard the bumper there, Reverend Jack, giving us a nice little rap beat. Well, the man himself is on the phone, Reverend Jack from Minneapolis. It's good to have you on.
How you doing, sir?
Great.
Appreciate it. So I got this. I have some relatives, some in-laws, and they're like, you know, they're hardcore Trumpers, but they're even more like, they're like doomsday preppers. They got like the bunker and the gas masks and all that stuff, It started out when they thought the black president was going to take their guns away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all hardcore conspiracy, like Illuminati and chemtrails and the whole nine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can't really argue with them, and it's pointless. But, lizard people, and it's nuts. But anyways, for example, like, you know, they always want to talk about this stuff at, like, family functions, and I don't, like, do that. So, one time they're like, my sister-in-law is like, I want my country back. And so I go, okay, like, I go, what do you mean? She goes, I want my country back. I said, from who do you want it back? And she's like, whoa. And then she goes, America-hating liberals. And I said, I was really nice about it. I'm like, I was just curious, like you make a statement like that. I'm like, what, you know, exactly how did your country get taken from you? Who took it? What are they doing with it? And what would be, you know, what would be necessary for you to feel like you have taken back possession of your country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you really mean by that? And, you know, she couldn't answer. And she got, you know, you were talking about, like, letting them hang themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't really answer the question. And it's because people throw out these blanket statements, and, you know, they just say stuff like, you know, they're like, well, you know, the killer is emails. And then if you're like, well, what exactly, what are these emails? Where do they go? What, you know, what's the damage? What, you know, explain to me exactly what's going on. Or, you know, Benghazi, what, well, what, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you let people, and if you're nice about it, you're just like trying to have a conversation, like teach me about this, you know, tell me what it is that you, you know, like maybe I want to, you know, maybe I'm upset about Benghazi too, but I don't know what, you know what I mean? And then get in the conversation. A lot of times people just can't explain it. They're just spitting out talking points.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for the call, Reverend Jack. And what's interesting, that point you bring up of your friend asking, saying that they want their country back. And I've said this a couple of times, that the idea of make America great again, that whole concept is referring to an America that was a post-World War II America that was governed by democratic policies. The rules of the land were all progressive Democrat ideas. New Deal Democrats really shaped how America prospered at that time. So that whole concept of making America great again is returning to a time when Democrats were in control. It just by its definition of what they're thinking of. Because there's no way to say that that time of the 50s, before the 60s, the traditional values climax here in America was absolutely shaped by the things that they oppose currently.
It was an interesting time because it was culturally very conservative, but but economically very liberal. And that's a part they don't really recognize when they say, let's go back to the 50s. They don't really look at the economic part of that statement.
Yeah, that's a good observation on it, too, that those social issues weren't there at that time. But economically, absolutely. But the Republican Party has really shifted its focus towards economics and what they tackle, what they pursue, where their attention is. It used to be more of that social conservative, but now there's so many libertarians that are like far right libertarians, anti-government to the extreme within the Republican Party. But let's go to David in Shakopee, who's got some thoughts on the debate topic. David, always a pleasure.
Well, first off, those are some excellent points both you and Jack made, especially about when we made America great at the first time and what policies were in place. But I like to use that because when I debate somebody who disagrees with me, especially for somebody from the right, I like to use their language. They like to talk about freedom and liberty. So I talk about freedom and liberty, and I ask them, Where is your freedom being limited? What is being taken away? And then I talk about self-governance, and I talk about how, with the government in charge, we at least have a choice. We can vote. But when corporations are in charge, you don't have any choices anymore. Even if you don't, take, for example, a certain fast food chain, even if we don't go there, even if we don't spend any money there, our tax dollars are going to prop it up in the form of assistance to the employees and to subsidize the cattle, subsidize all throughout the entire chain and the entire process. The other one is a certain shopping place that we won't mention, but we know what we're talking about, the biggest one in the world, that's completely subsidized through taxpayer money. But we don't have a choice there. We have a choice with the government. That's where we have a choice. That's where our freedom lies. So when people talk about freedom and liberty, it's the same thing with Obamacare. They're like, oh, freedom and liberty. Oh, they're taking away my freedom. They're taking away my choice. Because what choice did you have before? There's only three or four companies in Minnesota that you can really get health insurance through. And when you do get it through them, they decide. It's like the whole death panel thing. I'm still waiting for those, by the way. The whole death panel thing. There was always a death panel. It was just run. It was just an argument about whether it was going to be run by the government or run by a private company.
Well, thank you for the call, David. Yeah, and absolutely, there is no freedom in poverty. There's no freedom in oligarchy. Those are good points. And the way that corporations can take rule over us and take advantage of us, and why would that be okay? Conservatives would agree. Like your a blue-collar conservative shares that view but doesn't understand that the people he's electing are enabling this to happen often. But let's change things up to something bizarre. Brett, have you heard the trouble Alex Jones is in?
There's no shortage with what happened yesterday to him. Oh, my goodness.
Goodness. So
I kind of want to go back and see his shows to see if he's just going to go more off the rails than he already has over the past few months.
So Alex Jones is currently in court for the lies that he put forward of calling Sandy Hook a conspiracy and a false flag operation. So he is being sued by several of the families who have dealt with harassment and other negative impacts from Alex Jones parroting these ideas. So this week, what was it, yesterday, Sunday or Monday, Alex Jones' lawyers sent an email with all this information, but they apparently didn't look at the email before sending it, and they sent a bunch of child pornography images to the prosecutors. So immediately they sent it to the FBI, and now the FBI is investigating whether Alex Jones ever knew that he had possession of these. If he did, he's in a lot of trouble. But most things point to that it was a sincere accident, that this was the result of people sending him it, and malware is how he puts it. But, oh my God, what a bizarre story. But what I want is, Court TV just came back on the air on television, and they've been covering the Kellen Winslow trial, the tight end who was accused of raping a homeless woman, a hitchhiker in her 50s, and even going after a 80-year-old in a retirement home. But that case is all wrapped up now. Let's go to the Alex Jones trial on Court TV. Wouldn't that be fun to watch?
I'm not following how you accidentally get child porn on your computer. Malware, I don't know. I think he is in a lot of trouble. I don't know if he's even going to have a place on the repartee anymore.
That's right. He tries
might not have to
pirate our airwaves occasionally. But, man, Alex Jones, no short of just bizarre news coming from that guy lately. But, my God. Alex Jones, he's in trouble. Because this is not the only lawsuit. He just settled because he used that Pepe the Frog. He was using that on merchandise, and the artist who originally drew that comic book sued Alex Jones, and now they settled for a large amount of money. But Alex Jones is deplatformed from YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, all the social media platforms. So things have got to be a bit rough in InfoWars land right now.
Yeah, and isn't, going back to the Pepe the Frog artist, isn't he actually very much against the way the alt-right has used Pepe?
Yeah, oh, he absolutely is. He was like a Hillary Clinton supporter, and he is just, he's devastated at how the frog, the life it took on in those alt-right circles. But he was able to kind of get some compensation from Alex Jones specifically. I mean, it's used just widely, and he happened to pick Alex Jones to go after, and he was successful in it. But Alex Jones has a lot of lawsuits piling up on him recently.
Play my sad violin for him.
Oh, poor Alex. Let's take a break and then do some local stories of interest. Some state fair food's been released, as well as speeding is being enforced today. Cops are increasing their watch. So let's take a break, and we'll talk about those on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Be an info warrior and ignore everything these Soros puppets say. Hunter, Doug, and Brett spread Obama, globalist, Antifa propaganda. Ignore everything you hear on the Minnesota Progressive Liberty.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Better Futures Minnesota is a social enterprise which helps men achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. We need your help. By donating time or funds to our cause, you can support us and promote a healthier environment. By hiring our deconstruction crews for your next residential or commercial project and shopping or donating building materials or appliances to our reuse retail warehouse, you are supporting Better Futures Minnesota and your community. Please visit betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to 1 for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Hello, humans. This is me, Illy Krug, with Illy 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's show is a hodgepodge. I'll talk about a panel I was on in Chicago and the role of straight, white-collar men in championing diversity in the legal profession. And the big interview will be with folks from Minnetonka High School regarding their program of lettering in community service. What an idealistic idea. Illy 2.0 Radio, engaging in real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Brett Johnson here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. We've been taking your calls at 952-946-6205. And this is off topic, but have you ever heard, you have an iPhone, correct, Brett?
I do.
Have you ever looked at the shortcuts feature on your iPhone?
Oh, the ones where you press like the, you slide the little up button. It's the thing you showed me the other day,
isn't
it?
No, it's different than that. What, I had no idea this existed, and I just found out about it, and I'm loving it. But it's a way that you can have automated tasks. So, like, basically, people write code things, and then your phone will just do it. So that it, you can do really complex things automatically. And it's pretty cool. It's just on all iPhones. Off topic, but look into the Shortcuts app. There's cool stuff.
Oh, I've been using it. Oh, this is an app. Okay.
Yeah, but it's built into your phone. It's an Apple, like, default thing that then you add whatever you want to configure. But what I've been doing is taking all the text out of articles, and then I have it where I can move things around and edit it. Really good for preparing for this. So it's fun. Look into Shortcuts. In Minnesota, though, we just got the announcements of new state fair food for 2019. Those came out today, and there's a lot of new food coming this year. Over 300 new items you can expect at the Great Minnesota Get-Together. A couple of notable ones. Three cheesy sriracha funnel cake bites. Now, that sounds pretty intense. I mean, you got spicy and cheesy on a funnel cake. Then this is kind of peculiar. The Halo Cone. It features cotton candy and raspberry soft serve ice cream wrapped in a vanilla cotton candy. Man, that, I don't even know who that is designed for.
It's heartburn medicine right now.
Yeah, so there's over 300 of these new state fair foods, so expect a lot of exciting things to eat at the Minnesota State Fair this year. Do you have a favorite state fair food?
I always like the Sweet Martha cookies, but...
Oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, what you're describing there, that sounds good, but man, come with some Tums or something. That is not healthy.
I got kind of a similar, just a, my favorite's a turkey sandwich, and that sounds really boring, but the fried turkey at the state fair, the turkey to go, that's always my favorite thing to get, but none of these crazy cotton candy concoctions.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of cotton candy.
And
too
then,
much sweets.
Everyone, be of note that starting today, the law, the police department of Minnesota, they are stepping up their enforcement of speeding because speeding has caused more fatalities in Minnesota last year than any other year in the past decade. So they're looking to curb that. So be careful. And I know Brett is a speed demon, so
oh yeah,
we've got to watch you.
I know I got to be extra careful. Thanks for the warning.
You got to put a limiter on your car when you're zooming.
I know I went off on that in the winter saying, don't drive slowly in the left lane.
Yeah, so they're on the lookout for speeders. And one time I actually got pulled over for going 5 miles under the speed limit.
That's a new law that actually came into place, too, where one of the GOP reps put that in, where you can get pulled over for going slow.
That's crazy. Like, I was only 5 miles under.
Yeah,
I was going
five.
60 in a 65, and I got pulled over, and he told me that was the reason.
You didn't get a ticket, did you?
No.
Okay.
No, but he pulled over and told me that I was doing that, and I'm like, is that wrong?
Did they speed up there, Grandpa?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. I didn't know you had to be exactly the speed limit. That sounds crazy to me. But anyways, watch out, don't speed, and that's all for today. Join us tomorrow on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.